Why do you lock yourself up in these chains? No one can change your life except for you. Don't ever let anyone step all over you. Just open your heart and your mind. Is it really fair to feel this way inside?
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye. Until then, baby, are you gonna let them pull you down and make you cry? Don't you know, things will change, things will go your way. Hold on. For one more day. Hold on. For one more day, things will go your way. Hold on. For one more day, I know that there is pain, but you... Hold on.
Chase. Yeah, I know that there was pain, but you
hold on
for one more day and you break free, break from the chain. Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye. Say goodbye. Until then, baby, are you gonna let them hold you down and make you cry? Don't you know, things are changing, things are going away.
Hold on.
How do you love a man or find a man to love when you aren't pretty? Some people think I am pretty, and, well, I admit I do look better than I used to, but I can remember what it was like to be the less pretty one in every single girlfriend combination and to be looked over and then never asked out by men who insisted on a dazzler for a date. It's okay. Everybody likes to look at pretty girls. But how do we unspectacular ones compete? I'm sure you know the obvious ways, being a personality whiz and listening like you've been snake-charmed when a man opens his mouth, and being firm of bosom and lithe of figure. Also, you know to wear dreamy dresses, even if you have to hold three jobs at one time to afford them, and to splash perfume all over you, or better still, drench cotton with it and tuck it in your bra. If you aren't doing all these things, my plain friend, then you don't really want a man. As to new noses and fake lashes and straightened teeth, I'm all for them, and so are most men who really love women. If you're worried about how to break the news to him that it's a wig, well, I think in your most guileless way you simply say, "Do you know that I have on a wig tonight? You see, I happen to have this miserable baby fine hair, so sometimes I wear a wig. Now, I want you to be a big, brave, strong boy and not faint, because I'm going to go and take my wig off." Then disappear to the bathroom or bedroom if you aren't already there. Remove the wig, brush your hair, and return to your guest. It's just as simple as though you'd taken off a Lily Dashay hat. However, I guess I'm ahead of my story. Suppose you aren't in an apartment. Suppose you've just met him and you want to ensure seeing him again. If you were gorgeous, presumably there wouldn't be much of a problem. Men always seem to want to see gorgeous girls again, and I think these first confrontations with a man are when a plainish girl longs most desperately to be more beautiful. Other times it isn't so important. But you know, I've decided after years and years of studying these first meetings, and as you know, I married late, I've decided that an ordinary-looking girl does have something going for her. I don't subscribe to that ridiculous notion that she looks as good as a beauty, but I do believe some plainish girls have a kind of delicate, delicious advantage, and that is their need, their almost uncontainable longing to make good with this man. Perhaps it's why very poor but very brave boys in Mexico become legendary heroes facing death in the afternoon. There isn't any other way they can become famous or beloved. No football fields, no corporations to work out in, so they make it with what they do have, which is guts. A plain girl has only her enormous wish and her guts, too. Plus, of course, the other surface lures we just mentioned. Those are the only things she has with which to become beloved, but I think they're enough. A well-known female connoisseur once mused, "Why is it flat-chested girls are the sexiest in the world?" "They have to be," I said. And it's true. If you lack the cleavage that's bound to please, but you crave love and to be courted just as much as the bosomy girl, then I think we concave ones almost will ourselves into a certain surface kind of sexiness, at least. How does it work when you're alone with a man? Well, for one thing, I think you never let your eyes leave his face. You simply go on the make in a very quiet, inside, physical kind of way, and you pray. Let your eagerness and desire, filtered through charm, of course, go to work. You turn on the plain girl power. Being skitterish and fidgety aren't allowable. You must be very quiet if you can, and extreme primness and properness and only speaking when spoken to, well, that won't do either. You've got to come on a little bit more than that. Be as alert as an eel and ride his thought waves and talk waves as though you were a surfer. I can't tell you exactly how it works. I just know the plain girl power to intrigue a man is there if you tap it. And I believe that marshalling every bit of charm and womanliness and plunging in up to your armpits and giving it everything you've got with no guarantee of success is one of the most exhilarating experiences that can happen to a woman. I believe there's the same kind of danger and sparkle and fire inherent in these meetings, plain girl versus desirable man, as there must have been when Cleopatra had herself rolled up in a rug and delivered to Caesar. And there's quite a bit of evidence to prove that Cleo was a bit of a plain girl herself.
If a girl isn't pretty, like the Miss Atlantic City, all she gets from life is pity and a pat. Kindly name a star who hasn't won a contest or a pageant. If she hasn't, she just never gets to bat.
She must shine in every detail, like a ring you're buying retail. Be a standard size that fits a standard dress.
When a girl's incidentals are no bigger than two lentils, then to me it doesn't spell success.
It's Madge. I mean, hello, everyone. It's Madge. Where am I talking? Oh, I've got the wireless. Hello? Oh, no, I don't. Do I? Oh, no, that's the wrong microphone. I'm sorry. Wireless. Now we're on the wireless. Oh, I need to turn it up. Hello, wireless. Vagina clitoris. Vagina. Clit. Vagina. Loud, soft. Loud, soft. Okay. So now I'm on the mic. I think maybe a little louder just because I like to up it. Uppity, uppity. Clitoris. Hello. Oh, no, that's too loud. That's fine. Yes, that's fine. Hello. Overmodulate. No, one more down. Okay. No, too loud. Sorry, one more. If a girl isn't pretty like a Miss Atlantic City, what day is today? Let's see. What day is today? Let me check my calendar.
Friday.
Oh, it's...
Friday.
Thank you, postal worker. All right, so I still haven't gotten a single piece of mail, by the way, and it's, well, I'm away from the computer, so I can't press the Friday button. But, you know, I got a lot of phone calls since then, a lot of apologies. The head of the world called, said, well, Mrs. Weinstein, comma, lesbian. They didn't say the lesbian Weinstein, we're using my full title, but they did say Mrs. Weinstein, comma, lesbian. And if you don't get mail in 3 weeks, give us a call. It takes 3 weeks to fix. Oh, so that's great, you know, that's great. I don't need any checks. Oh no, I don't need no checks. If a girl isn't pretty, except those checks you see in them porno movies with the prag. I don't know, that's another story. If a girl isn't pretty like a Miss Atlantic City, you can go and fuck yourself with a rock. All right, I got this groovy new hairdo. It's all kinds of colors, you wouldn't believe it. Anyway, I want you to go fuck yourself. Okay. Let's see. If a girl isn't pretty, like a Miss Atlantic... No, it's stuck in my fucking brain. Why am I doing a show and I don't even give a fuck? Oh, I never do. Because a girl isn't pretty. Am I recording? Yes. And a Miss Atlantic City. I have topics. Bad things. Let's see. Where is it? I'm going to clean a little too. So Baghdad Brian was arrested. You may know Baghdad Brian from Alive in Baghdad. He's been on Bicycle Mark's show. He's been interviewed there. And he got arrested in China. They have put him in jail. He will be imprisoned in China for 10 days for filming a protest. The U.S. is not doing a goddamn thing about it. Because we are China's bitch. And you Americans don't care. You're just fucking eating and watching these goddamn games. Shame on you. Shame on you and shame on me, too, for paying for this fucking country's shit with my fucking taxes, too, you know? But, you know, that no-neck guy, as we talked about before, Mikey Pott had him. I think he had him on the show. I haven't heard yet, but he said he was going to. No-neck got arrested. Not Fausto, just no-neck. Somebody, oops. Anyway, oops. Hang on. If a girl isn't pretty like a Miss Atlantic City, then sit her behind a microphone and talk. No. It's kind of wrong grammatically, but you get the gist. And I was referring to myself, by the way. If a girl isn't pretty like a Miss Atlantic City, then give her some software and a microphone. She's ugly. Christ, she's Cheryl. She's ugly. Prolapsed real. If a girl isn't pretty, tell her get fucked. If a girl isn't pretty, like a Miss Atlantic City, blow it out your ass, whore. I'm out of practice. I'm out of tune. I haven't been chewing problems. Say, Seaball. Oh my God. Can somebody find me the video? I looked on this on YouTube a long time ago. Couldn't find it. The clip of the Where's the Beef commercials with Clara Peller. I need those. Where's the beef? Hey, you, where's the... You know, that's... In a metaphor. It's just a metaphor. Four. If a girl isn't pretty like a Miss Atlantic City, she can go or fuck herself with a stone. It makes no sense. So I can't do... I couldn't do my yoga yesterday because my hairdresser put all these fucking colors in my hair. And then he says, you can't exercise... You can't get your hair wet for 24 hours, and for me that means exercise because I schwitz like a motherfucker. Because I'm a lesbian and lesbians have testosterone juices in their blood and this makes us sweat a lot. You know? So I should maybe... It wasn't as bad premenopausally, but I guess that's why we sweat during menopause because it's the estrogen leaving our bodice or not being produced. If a girl... All right, so... Baghdad Brian is in jail in China. So what happened is, so No Neck, you recall, was deported. And, you know, it certainly looks as if, well, China said, gee, you know, nobody seems to mind. These are fucking Americans. These are our citizens. China can't put our citizens in jail for exercising freedom of speech, something that is supposedly so, so paramount to our so-called freedom. That is fucking bullshit. Beyond bullshit. China is imprisoning Americans for exercising freedom of speech. please. You don't understand how profoundly significant this is to the future of our so-called democracy and more, China's, whatever it's called, where they just fucking control everyone. They're controlling us now. You know, and all you have to do is listen to Carmen Bang, like I tell you, listen to what Warren Buffett says about, that basically soon we'll be paying taxes to the Chinese government. And look at it, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. You know? But we're just, turn off the fucking TVs, people. Spread the word, do something, help. I can't stand it anymore. Turn off your TVs, that's the mind control that's making you suck up all this bullshit. I don't care if that fucking frog man fucking won 12 awards. He's fucking ugly. Big fucking deal. Turn that shit off, make a stand. Don't support that shit. That's a democratic act to not watch that shit. Oh, now I'm going to get all kinds of hate mail. Oh my God, don't tell me not to watch the fucking Olympics. Oh, they're so great. Oh, they're so fucking great. Well, you can't even see their dicks anyway, so get over it. Anyway, if a girl isn't pretty like a Miss Atlantic City. Oh my God, can you fucking believe that? Imprisoning Americans, you know, for doing what Americans are supposedly Americans to do, which is to be free, right? Isn't that what we do, is we spread freedom and democracy? And you're gonna put us in fucking jail for filming a goddamn protest? I wish I could just make people feel as angry about it as me, because I'm a lesbian, but then, yeah, and then they'll say, well, what can you do about it? Well, what you can do is talk about it and spread the word, because that's how it works. And everything that gets done in this country is based on fucking opinion polls, which I think are bullshit. I don't even know if they're accurate. But so talking about it and discussing it and saying and taking stands, doing everything on a microscopic level works. And probably wake up Auntie Vera, even like Auntie Vera talking about stuff is probably more useful than the fact that she doesn't vote. At least, you know, the fact that she does talk about it, even if it's, you know, stupid. Like her. Never mind, Vera. I just wanted you to wake up from your nap. Vera said she only wakes up during programs when she listens to her, hears her own name. In true podcast tradition, she's become an egotistical cunt. But she's in good company. She's got me there. Now, what? Vera's actually been a very good friend to me, and a lot of people don't understand that you can fight with people and have arguments with people and disagree with people and still be very good friends. You know, I don't believe the way to have a friend is to not argue. That's not friendship. That's just bullshit, for lack of a better word, because my vocabulary's pretty much gone since I have the early onset Alzheimer's for God knows how many years now. So tonight, speaking of friends, I'm going to see Joanna Newsom by myself, which should be extremely disturbing, considering the fact that she, via tape recorder, performed at my lesbian girlfriend Gussie Iskowitz's funeral in 2006. So I suppose I would be very emotional in symphony halls. Yeah, I know I said emotional. But if a girl isn't pretty like a Miss Atlantic City, whatever. Ugh. There's something I have to talk about, and I don't want to talk about it. It's a difficult subject. Let's see. Well, first of all, I'll get to the... So hopefully I'll forget about the difficult subject that I don't want to talk about. And instead, I want to tell you about a spam mail I received. You know, you get these Phentermine, Viagra, all this shit. These spams, I get them as comment spam on WordPress all the fucking time on my blogs. And, you know, I sometimes scan them just to make sure, because sometimes real mail gets, or real comments get caught in there. Like Marcus Couch from the Scene Zine put a comment and it ended up in my spam filter, so I was glad that I looked. especially since it was very complimentary. But I don't know if Marcus is listening, but if you are, you should write that a kismet and find out why you're going into the spam queue. I mean, you didn't even link to anything, so it wasn't because you had too many links, Marcus. I hope I remember to tag this with him. Anyway, so it's just your typical thing. It says Soma, and it's got a link to a MySpace blog, which links to some place where they sell this drug, not to the drug company itself, as far as I know, but to some MySpace, which links to a Yahoo My blog, which basically says, advertise the drug. But the post itself, it says strong Soma slash strong, which means, you know, bold face strong. And then it says cheap Soma, Watson, period. Soma, period. Suicide with Soma, dot, dot, dot. So apparently they are promoting Soma as a suicide drug using spam. And then when you click on the link, you end up at a Yahoo website. Yahoo, the same people that helped China censor and imprison people. Also helps American commit suicide with their Soma shit. It's weird, peoples. Fuck, I still remember the subject. Well, let's just see. I feel like I have a responsibility, a social responsibility, to talk about this. It's about the AIDS, and in particular, I have had an alarming number of friends experience seroconversion in the past year or so. I mean, I know most people that listen to the show are all over the place, and most people are not in gay ghettos like me here in Chicago, where at least half the gay people I know are HIV positive. But the people that I know that have been doing this, they're not people that really drink or do stuff like that or really even engage in risky behavior. And obviously there was some risk involved in what they did. Anyway, I think we can often get into the situation where we're judging the behavior, and I don't want it to be about that. But I just want to say, the reason I wanted to mention it is just because I want the gay people in the audience to know that you have to be really fucking careful. Now, these friends of mine are mostly in their, you know, at least 35 and tend to be higher, and that's because it's a numbers game. And when you do sex and you maybe have engage in unsafe behavior, or maybe you stick the dick in and then you take it out after 2 seconds, that kind of thing, or, you use a condom, you don't let them come in, these sort of risky behaviors that one can delude themselves into being are not risky, those kind of things, well, they're not risky, and they can have a very small percentage of chance that you get this disease, but I'm not being eloquent here because it's very difficult, seriously difficult, to the extent where I've been putting off this discussion for a long time. And the reason is because it involves friends, and I don't want to risk anyone's stuff. You know? It also is because I want to protect my own family members who occasionally listen to the show from worrying about me contaging this disease, even though I'm a lesbian. Thus far, I've managed to avoid it. And the reason I avoid discussing it often, and the loved ones who have contaged this disease and, in fact, died from it, I do that to protect, to keep my, I do it to protect my family, because I don't want them to worry about it. But because, you know, at least since finally I went to the doctor after so many 5 years and got the, you know, the STD testing and everything was fine and normal and negative, that I feel like, well, at least that I know where I stand, that maybe it's okay to talk about it a little, but I realize I'm not really talking about it. But anyway, first, the message is don't fucking, I don't want to tell you what to do. I think every gay person has to be mentally prepared for the possibility. I mean, I know one person who basically had somebody stick a dick in their boo-hoo hole and take it out, and that was it. Now, the person said, you know, he was, you know, there was no ejaculation, so he thought it was okay, but my friend is very careful anyway. He said, well, just in case, are you HIV positive? He said, no. Now, even though that happened, he's still seroconverted, and he knows it was this person because there was no other possibility. And so, now, of course, if that person had said, yes, I'm HIV positive, well, my friend would have been able to go to the clinic the next day and get the emergency, or that day, and get the emergency regimen, which is, I don't know if you know this, but if you engage in risky behavior, or if you get a needle stick, something like that, that's what they do in hospitals, is you can take in this emergency regimen, which is really high doses of AIDS drugs, anti-HIV drugs, or whatever you call it. And there's a better than not chance of eradicating the disease at that point, but only within the first 24 hours if you take it. So, but anyway, the point I'm making in this part of the discussion is that the point I'm trying to make is you can't judge, see? And I know a lot of people when I talk to, and I don't fault straight people for this, straight Westerners, let's just say, because it's different in Africa, but a lot of, you know, people will say, well, it's because you're not using a condom, and, you know, there's no reason you should get AIDS because you know, everybody knows it's contagious to use a condom. Well, a lot of people saying that are straight people that don't use condoms because really, in actuality, they don't really have that big a risk. I mean, unless they're in minorities, but that's the reality of it. I mean, are you straight? Do straight people use condoms that often? Certainly not in the pornography, they don't. You know, I know a lot of people that have straight people that have casual sex without condoms, and they don't. I don't know anybody who's gotten AIDS from it. I don't know any straight person who's gotten AIDS from anything except needles, junkies. I don't, but that's obviously just my limited. But anyway. So I guess I'm trying to make a couple points. One is that the possibility for gay men to get AIDS is there, and it's high. And even if you engage in the most risky, least risky, teeny tiny unrisky behaviors, it's a numbers game. So the longer you live and the more you do it and the more you have sex and the more you're playing the roulette wheel. And that's what happens, you know? I studied the statistics in college, and you know, and it's a very real thing, you know? I mean, it may seem weird, and it doesn't really make that much intuitive sense. Statistics don't. But if you roll the roulette wheel enough times, your number will come up. It will come up eventually. So even if it's not risky, it can happen. And, well, anyway. And that sucks. So, and the other thing is, a lot of straight people and people, you know, don't have to, you know, that don't have to wear condoms all the time, even in relationships, for fear of HIV. A lot of those people don't understand what it's like to, for your whole life, never to be able to experience the sexual act in its natural form. To always have a piece of latex between your sexual organs. You know, that is not natural. Not that homosexuality is. And And of course, I'm agreeing that everybody should use condoms all the time. But I think without the frank discussion, a lot of times we're basically lying and we're having discussions that aren't honest. When you don't talk about the real objections to condoms and the reason why people stick it in a little bit without the condom. Because, you know, it's like, imagine kissing somebody with cellophane all the time. It's like the boy in the plastic bubble. You never really get to experience it. And that's tragic. It's a tragic thing, I think. And you have to understand that. And some things are tragic and you have to accept them. Like, well, okay, well, if you want to live without getting HIV, then you have to use these fucking condoms all the time. And you have to understand that that means you're never going to experience sex in its natural form. You may disagree with me. That's fine. You can disagree. That's what I think, based on my own experience and research. And so, you know, I guess what I'm saying is please try not to, I think I'm talking to everybody and I'm talking to myself too, and I'm honestly not trying to blame anyone or fault anyone for anything, but I just think that there needs to be a more frank discussion about this. Oh, it's so hard for me to talk about real things, but I have lost people to this disease that were extremely close. And I really don't want to be more specific than that because I give out plenty of information on my show. Way more information than any of you have given me about yourself. So nobody can begrudge me for withholding any information, but that's more specific than I've ever wanted to get, and anybody with half a brain can deduce the rest. So, you know, I know what this is like. Many of you do too, I imagine, especially gay people, especially older gay people, the ones that lost dozens of friends in the 80s, like Vera, other people. And, well, maybe I guess the main thing I want people to know is the disease is still there and it's fucking powerful. And I think maybe it seems like the virus is getting stronger. It seems like it's getting easier to catch. I mean, I just don't understand. So many people I know that are so-called responsible and do all the right things that are getting this disease and it's just, ugh, it sucks. It sucks. And it just sucks. Because these people they're not reckless barebacking like in these fucking porno movies. These are grown-ups. These are people doing basically the right thing. And of course, occasionally something happens, something slips, you know, an error in judgment. That's what humans do. And with sexuality is powerful. And you know that. And, well, it just needs to be talked about more, I think. The fact that condoms are a pain in the ass. No pun intended there. I think that discussion needs to happen. Maybe not here, because this isn't that kind of show, really. But and I'm certainly not exactly one who likes to talk about things in such a way. I'm more joking about it. And, ugh, this is a horrible feeling to talk about. But, you know, hear a more realistic discussion. You know, just because we're saying things that a lot of people think but don't talk about doesn't mean it's going to make the problem worse. I think it's going to make it better. It's like therapy when you talk about the stuff you're repressing. It has this weird way of making you better. So let's talk about the fact that having sex with condoms, and I don't mean let's here, literally on Yeast Radio, not here, but as a community, as people, as individuals, whether you're straight or not, let's talk about it, let's have this discussion so we can say, you know what, condoms suck, I hate them, but you know what, I'm going to live with them for the rest of my life because that's my choice, and I choose not to take that risk because I want to live a long life. And isn't that tragic, like so many other things in life, you know? The fact that skin cancer runs in every generation in my family generally hits at the age of 60, and then you've got lesions everywhere. And this is my situation personally, you know. That sucks for me, you know. But everybody has shit, you know. Who knows what? A tragedy. Life is fucking terrible, right? So you add this to the fucking list of things that's terrible about life: the fact that if you're gay, you can't fucking have real sex if you want to fucking be certain that you're not going to catch AIDS. You know, you can't even stick it in for half a second because you can get it, and that's what happened to my friend. You know. And let's talk about the other stuff, the fact that, you know, it's much more risky to get AIDS if you're on the bottom. I never hear people talk about that, but it's true. Because when you're on the bottom, say, I'm talking about gay relationships, gay male relationships, when you're on the bottom, your asshole's fucking exposed, and oftentimes the tissue can get ripped and it can cause bleeding, and then if there's semen that contains the virus, it's very easy to catch the virus. Whereas if you're the top, and you don't have any lesions in your penis that accept blood, you're much less likely. And I'm not, ugh. But see, this is part of the taboo discussion. I'm talking about odds here. I'm just talking about odds. So, well, and I'm nowhere qualified to have this discussion. It's a medical one, really. And a lot of doctors, you know, they definitely err on the side of caution and they'll tell you don't suck dick without a condom. Well, I think that's kind of like, I mean, it's really not that likely to get AIDS from oral sex. You know, I'm sorry. So if you may make a decision, and I'm not encouraging anything, by the way, in my opinion, sorry. But in my opinion, you know, somebody might make a decision and say, look, I'll never be able to experience anal sex without a condom, I accept that, but oral sex is so incredibly, ridiculously unlikely to catch the disease that I will take that chance and not swallow, and at least experience that in real life without plastic or rubber. You know, maybe that discussion needs to be part of it. God, I hate this. Ugh. Until I hate it, it's fucking making me scrub my counters. Ugh. Wow. So. And I know I'm gonna get the emails and the comments that say, "Gosh, Midge, you're really at your best when you're so honest." Well, fuck you. You know what? I don't like. I don't have to be honest. I know you'd like it when I am frank and down and exposing myself and wearing my heart on my sleeve. I know you'd like that. I know that makes for a better show in most people's ears. But you know what? You don't have any right to what's inside of me, audience. You don't. What do you give me that's inside of you? Not that everything should be give and take, but when you're talking about intimacy, yeah, I think there's something there. So, and I don't want to fucking know your shit, so don't fucking write me and tell me, you know, about your fucking prolapse or whatever, because, well, I want to hear about your prolapse, but you know what I mean. But, you know, you have no right as an audience to know what's really going on in my life. So when I give it to you, and I tell you, you know, you can say what you want, but it doesn't do me any good for you to tell me that these are the kind of best shows and you should wear your cunts on your sleeve all the fucking time. Because I won't. Because you don't have any right to request that. I mean, you have a right to request it, to say it. You have a right to say whatever you want, but you really have no basis from which to judge and to really... none of this is going to make sense. And like the psychology teacher I had the first day of class in college for some giant lecture about psychology thing, he said, and I think he was quoting B.F. Skinner or some famous psychiatrist, and he said, you know, So-and-so said, it was like on the first day of class, I think, or at least for dramatic effect, it was, so-and-so said in his book, blah, 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 the things that people say are mostly lies and bullshits. You have to judge them only on their actions. You know, that's why psychological experiments and most experiments, they don't just interview people, because people aren't going to tell the fucking truth. They look at their behavior and they trip you up. They trick you into finding what's really going on, like those Harvard implicit tests. How is that relevant to this discussion? I have no idea. Oh, it's relevant because I don't want people to take what I'm saying literally and, you know, and challenge certain aspects of it. I mean, this is not a debate. There are times when it's okay to do that, but this is a very difficult subject for me, and it's going to involve a lot of contradiction and yuck. You know, and 10 years ago, I probably would have sounded very different, maybe been more preachy. Maybe it sounds like I'm preachy, but if you listen, I think you'll find out, well, if that's what you came up with, then it's probably my own fault for coming off that way, but I'm not used to this. And anyway, yeah. Let me see. I don't know how I can end this fucking thing. I feel like I'm fucking trapped in a vortex of fucking AIDS. Let's see. Oh my goodness. I came in city. I just need something to poogar. Poogar, that's not even a word. Hoogar. I'm studying my shit. I guess this is very appropriate. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my click finger ain't exactly what it used to be. My clickeris. Bye.
If you pull up, then you know we'll clap your hand. If you pull up, then you know we'll clap your hand. If you pull up, then you know it, then your ass can surely show it. If you laughed, and you know we'll clap your hand. If you laughed, and you know it, quit your joint. If you laughed, and you know it, quit your joint. If you laughed, and you know it, your rectum will surely show it. If you laughed, and you know what we've begun. If you laughed, and you know what stable your lips. If you laughed, and you know it's stable your lips. Oh, if you laughed, and you know it, your cum will surely show it. If you laughed, and you know it's stable your lips. Oh.
Please wear a diaphragm all the time.